Hi, it's Tiffany Lorraine Galloway, certified high performance coach with another episode of the Resilient Mother Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about resilient intuition and what that means for you and what that means for your kids, and maybe just how you let them keep it from a young baby into adulthood. Wouldn't that be great? Well, Natalie Lamb is here to tell us about It's Your Choice. It's your choice on how you do this, how you mother, and you can thrive and be resilient, and so can your children. Thank you, Natalie, for being here with me. Please tell us a little bit more about you.
Thank you, Tiffany, for having me. I'm a life coach, relationship coach, and a grief coach. I'm also a parent educator for 27 years. So it's a lot of what I do is always been focused on children, and it's been focused on helping adults become the better adults we can be so that our children can be better. I really do have the philosophy that, you know, if we just parent one generation extremely well, we have changed the whole course of how the world moves. And so my effort and plan has always been to help us as adults become better so that our children can live, I think, the life they deserve.
I love that. And I do think that takes some resilience. And with that, what does resilience mean to you?
So resilience to me really means that you can stand honestly, right? Honestly assess what is going on. And then from there, one, find where you fit, right? I think sometimes we look at everything around us instead of looking at just ourselves. But find where you fit, find your ownership. And then when you find your ownership, you find so many lessons. And then with those lessons, you stand firm on how to move forward with, if we have fails, right? Because that comes with it. But we know how to move, and we stay committed to our foundation, right? Our purpose, our beliefs, our character, right? Our integrity. I think all those things are so important to carry with you and to help our children be able to see and be able to define.
So how do we do that from when they're very little and they're just intuitive, they're free, they're curious, they're excited about life, they fall down, they get back up, nothing stops them. How do we give them that?
Yeah, you know what? I really believe, and I did this with my girls, one is 18, one is 15 now. And since they were little, I always try to help them honor the intuition within them. So if it is us in an outside space, and I'm talking like two, right, when they first started speaking and everything, I used to, when we go out, ask them, you know, how do you feel, right? When we come back home, does anything feel off? Did anything feel weird? Did anybody make you feel unsafe? I wanted them to be aware of what's going on around them. Right. And then as they got older, we kind of broadened it and perfected it. And I never limited to the people even I felt were safe, that I knew were good, that I knew they were safe. I always, at the end, when we left, like, did anything occur? Did anything make you feel unsafe? Were there anything that was questionable? Because I wanted them to have stand in their own truth. And, you know, as we moved and they got older and you know, like 10, 11, 12, where they have way more, you know, language and opinions, even with, right? Even with my friends, like if I had a party or whatever, it was me always asking them that as well. Like, are these people feeling safe for you? Because they may feel safe for me, but if they're not safe for you, then that's what I will honor for you, right? And then also, again, as we would move and go out, what do you feel? How do you do? What are you sensing? Pay attention to what's around you. If you feel any way, honor it. You know, I teach adults too, right? So even with me teaching adults and teaching them, because, you know, we lose our intuition as we get older oftentimes because it's almost socialized out of us, right? We're told, like, you can't act on that. You can't say that. That's inappropriate right now. So we start squashing it. Or we don't have enough evidence. And sometimes with intuition, you don't have evidence, but you have your feeling, you have your gut, you have this language that's deep within you that says, this is not the right choice, or this is not the right place, or you need to leave now, right? And too often we wait for evidence. in order to move instead of trusting where we are.
So with that, do you think it's because we're in a world that seeks so much of outside validation to be told you're okay, instead of trusting on the inside that you know you're okay because you're in alignment with your truth, as you talked about earlier?
I do. I think it's two things, I think. I think as raising kids, we sometimes don't tap in with them enough. Mm-hmm. I think we don't talk to them enough about what they feel, what their world perspective is, right? What their view is, because sometimes we discount it because they don't have as many years as us. Mm-hmm. So when we don't give them language to express how they feel, right? What's going on with them, even with us. The trick with holding on to intuition until you become adult and then perfecting in an adult is that you have to have parents that honor it within your children. So you have to be willing to be wrong sometimes. You have to be willing to say how you feel is valid, even if I don't see it that way, right? When I was growing up, I was gifted this from my mom. There were people, there were places, there were things I just did not want to be a part of. And I would say, you know, Mom, they make me feel weird, right? And she would be like, okay. If there were places we had to go, I'm like, I don't really feel like going, or I just don't want to. It was an honoring that was done in that. And so from that, I walked away into adulthood, right, with a great respect for how I feel. Mm. And then in that, knowing when to act on it, right, when to pause and just let's see what unveils. And then when to say, okay, that's not my intuition, but that's my fear or something else that's speaking. And you have to be able to know those within yourself to decipher it. And that's what, as a parent, because I believe parents are teachers, we have to teach our children the separate so that they can decipher it and move through with it.
And I think a key time period for that is the teen years, where anxiety spikes and those negative feeling spikes, and they're confusing. Because before that, I feel like it's a little easier to navigate things in child development, and that area just becomes very unstable as they develop who they are. What are ways you've been able to honor that as they develop self, but have those doubts and have this broader view of themselves that they now have to step into?
Yeah. So a lot of that is, for me, it was really teaching them how to use their voice and then how to act on their voice responsibly. The lesson was always your choices are your choices, but there's always a consequence to every choice, good or bad, right? And so if you make this choice, let's honor it. Let's see where it goes, right? In those years before teen years, it's great to teach them that and let them really exhibit it, you know, like schooling and homework and chores and all of those are just this fertile ground to teach them this was your choice and this is your consequence, right? Mm-hmm. One example, my daughter, one of them, I can't remember which one, but procrastinating on homework, right? And, you know, as a parent, you want to step in and kind of just get it together and get it done because you don't want them to pay the consequence of a bad grade or whatever, right? I'm like, okay, you procrastinated. And not that I haven't stepped in and helped you sometimes, but this time I said, let's teach a lesson, right? And I said, okay, you chose not to get this done. You'll have to live with what comes out of it, right? Mm-hmm. And you got a bad grade. Oh, you know, we could be devastated over it, but you're in the fifth grade, which really is a big deal, right? But it's a lesson, because then now I can use that lesson for the next time, not necessarily even homework, but something else comes up about procrastination. I remember that. And it's her lesson, right? It's not me giving her a lesson. It's her lesson that she walked through and lived that now she's like, oh, yeah, I remember what that procrastination felt like. And I remember the consequence and I didn't like it, right? And so when we set those understandings when they're younger, when they become teenage years, which, oh, Lord, are something else, right? Yes. That junior high up through like 11th grade is just, I mean, because they're going through so much and trying to find themselves and figuring out when to speak, when not to speak, when to stand outside from the crowd. Because I think that becomes such a difficult task, to stand outside from the crowd, because you're honoring yourself, you know? And our kids are gonna always get into some situations that they could get into trouble, right? And they could fall into danger. One thing I teach is that, you know, trouble always looks like fun before it becomes trouble for you.
that's a good one. I need to go on a t-shirt.
Yes, the trouble with trouble, when it starts off with fun, and then you find out this was trouble. Oh my gosh. So it's like trying, and those only come with lessons, right? Yeah. Like they have to experience some stuff that is uncomfortable, that sometimes gets them in trouble, for them to be able to say, okay, let me look back. When did I know this was going to be a problem?
Yeah.
When did I notice this person was more chaotic in my life than they were good for me? Mm. And then why didn't I honor it? You know, why didn't I listen to it?
Well, I love the language that you're using, because you're giving them ownership of all of it. And as teenagers, they really want that. Because I find if I have to bite my tongue so often because I want to, I don't mean to nag. I just have this opinion, or I have this observation, but they didn't ask for it and they didn't want it. And then reverse psychology doesn't work either. But what you're talking about goes back to, do you remember when you did this? Do you remember in your life when you made these decisions? Like, I think that honors the individual in such an important way. It's definitely something I could implement more and think about as I, because it builds that relationship of honoring who they are and who they're developing into, but also putting you in the place of being supportive, which is what we mean to do and what we want to be. That is so hard to balance as they're changing. It's like, but you used to be like this and now you're like this. And yesterday you like this and today you like this. I'm confused. So, but the way you said it.
It's so true. Yeah. And you know, but it starts with choices. And if we can start giving our children choices very early on, it starts giving them power, right? And so like when my little one was literally, you know, 1.5, 2 years old, I would put out two outfits, choose one, right? Nothing big, but they're choosing, right? I had at the bottom of my cabinet was all her little dishes. And then she got to choose which one she would use. She got to be responsible for, you know, what she would eat at certain times. And the choice, especially when they're young, we control them. So it's not like a big deal for us, really, if we think about it that way, right? I'm putting out two things that I'm doing anyway, so it wouldn't be a big deal. You don't have to be crazy and just like do whatever you want. Like that doesn't work either, because that's way too permissive. Yeah. But it's little things that just like, oh, I have an opinion on that. I like that, right? Or I chose that, but man, I didn't really care for that. I'll remember that next time. And it's part of going through learning who you are, right? What you like, what you don't like, what causes you discomfort, what causes you sadness, broadening even our language around emotions and feelings, and really using, you know, we wait until we're adults to like really get into the feeling wheel and all of that. And it's like, we should show that to our kids really early on, so that they can see the full gamut of everything that's going on with them, because they often don't have language. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have language, you don't know how to express. So you end up acting out behaviorally, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what every little tantrum is when they're, you know, 2, 3, 4. It's like, I don't know how to tell you this, so let me get on the ground and scream, right? There's just me being upset, you know, and me grieving because you're not giving me something I really want. And so the only way I can do this is yell it out, right? And it's like frustrating and takes us to a whole nother level, but it's the only language they know. So when we start showing them language and, hey, look, say this when you're feeling this, say this when you're feeling this, you give them the ability, one, to communicate with you better, but to communicate with the world
And I think
that's what they
from need. Even a baby. I think people underestimate everything you feed into a baby, even while they're in your womb. It's absorbed. I've really noticed this, especially with my last son, because I did a lot of self-compassion, self-improvement work through the pregnancy for the first few years of his life. And it's really stuck in a beautiful way. And so he can verbalize a lot to me also, because I started singing to the baby early, even in my womb, and reading, and kept that going. Yeah. And all my children love to read and have read at least a little bit early. One of them was more into motor skills kind of thing. They're all different, right? But I think part of giving that language is reading. And some of it can be reading about emotions, reading about intuition, and programs that also enforce that. My one daughter, who's really intuitive with her emotions, really grew up loving Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is all about emotional regulation. And like, she's our like go-to calm, peaceful one in the house. Like if we need the peacemaker, she comes in. And I'm like, I think you picked something from that particular show and the things that she's attracted to that I've honored. That's just who she is and her personality. And I'm glad to see that coming through as she gets older. But so if we were looking at baby versus toddler versus school age, elementary, teenager, and beyond, is there kind of a progression of this that you can think of, or do you need to know child development to honor where they're at? What do you think is responsible as a parent to take on? Because it could be too much. That could be overwhelming. Yeah. But what are some simple things you could take on for thinking about that? Your child's life, the influence that you have on this, giving them their intuition, giving them their voice that is responsible. I love that you added that, because you can give them a voice, but if it's not with tact or with respect, that's not going to go very far either. So I'm just kind of curious that whole gamut.
Yeah. So I think I think in the womb, we do set the stage because they know they hear us, right? Our heartbeat is their rhythm. It is what keeps them calm and smooth and all of that. Once they're born, I think it's, you use a lot of language when you're dealing with them. I think it's, hey, I'm changing your diaper now, or do you want this? Or it's putting language to the actions. Mm-hmm. And so my sisters used to crack up with me. They were like, you talk to your kids like they're adults. Because I always had this dialogue with them that perhaps that they probably cannot understand. They can understand the tone, right? They can understand all of that. So all of that gets embedded in them. But it is giving them that space where you really are a full person. And because you're a full person, I have to honor that no matter how tiny you are. So it's, knowing that it's okay to cry. It's okay to be uncomfortable. Once they get, 6, 7 months, and you start noticing that there's some people they don't want to be with, and there's some people that they don't want to hold them or touch them, it's honoring that, right? Mm-hmm. I never made my girls be held by anyone they didn't eat, family members. No, not now. Like, you come in, convince them that you're worthy to hold them, right? Mm-hmm. Because, and it's uncomfortable sometimes with family because, it's like, I'm their grandmother, or I'm their auntie, I'm whatever. Like, I have this almost stake in this kid, and you do, but they also get to choose. So it's in that choosing that you give them that. And it's like, well, why did you pull back? Right? Why were you uncomfortable? Those are conversations you have afterwards once they get language, right? But it is from that, you carry that throughout. And then when they start getting too much language, and they start saying things that you're like, oh,
I got one of those.
I got two of them. It's so it's honoring it, and it's covering for them. Sometimes I think we leave our kids out to dry because we're trying to protect ourselves, and we are too quick in discounting them because they don't have the right verbiage at the right time. Right. Mm-hmm. So it is coming in and saying, oh, what they were saying was X, Y, and Z, but you still are honoring the space that they stand in, and, you're in a place of community with a lot of people. It really is navigating serious waters, even in school. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I taught my girls in school. If there's ever a teacher that makes you feel uncomfortable, you come let me know. I also made sure I spoke to every teacher ahead of time. this is me. This is who I am. This is kind of what I'm about. Here's my number. I honor my kids, right? So we move in that space. I did it with every principal of new school I went to. I went and had a conference. This is what I'm about. This is what I expect. This is how I want things to be handled. And you make this rapport, right? But I let my kids know I'm doing that. Listen, they know who I am. If there's a problem, you feel free to come to me and we will have this discussion and we will work this out together. But it's me showing them advocacy, because a lot of intuition is you then have to advocate for yourself afterwards.
Yes.
Right. So I'm feeling this way, but I don't really know where to put it. So I have to be able to advocate for myself and say, well, this doesn't work for me. This is not good for me. Right. And of course, we want them to do it with their peers, but we also want them to have an ability to do it with authority, because what we know is that children are always in a weaker place. So especially when it comes to authority, and sometimes horrible things happen to children because authority is over them. So it is also telling children at all times, you always get to protect yourself. Like, you always get to honor you. No matter what, and I will be there as your backup defense, no matter what, and no matter who, because who is as important, right? Yes. And so I also teach parent about child sexual abuse prevention, and I have like three different seminars I do with that. And I, one thing I always tell my parents, because intuition is such a big part of that.
Right? Oh, yeah.
It's such a big part of our kids. One, knowing when they feel uneasy at the first stop, they're able to tell me, they're able to say, I don't care for them, I don't like this, no matter who they are. So yes. It was when they were 2, 3, 4 up until, okay, I don't care who it is, you know? And I named the people who I knew were safest, because if you know that you can tell me about them, then you can tell me about anybody. Right. Mm-hmm. So it was, hey, if it's your dad, if he does something that's wrong, you tell him. If I do something that you don't like, you tell your dad, because he's going to protect you too. And then I list the main adults in their lives, them too. If at any time they do something, you come tell me and we can work this out, right? Yeah. We have to, if we want to honor intuition and them to walk it in their adulthood, we have to cultivate it now. Because if it's not cultivated now, it is such a stumbly world out there of trying then to honor yourself when no one taught you how to do it.
Yeah. Oh, I love how eloquently you put that, because it's so important. I am a child. I was abused as a child, and it was by people that we supposedly trusted. And I actually found out later that I thought the abuse stopped with me, and it actually went on with the same person because they thought they had stopped it, but they hadn't. But these conversations were not comfortable. Those conversations of who do you trust, how do you feel, were not open. That was not something talked about. Once it happened, nobody talked about it again, which was such a disservice because then it allowed it to perpetuate. And it's often someone a child knows. And that's exactly what you're saying, is it's usually a family member, it's a friend. And they can be people that are prominent in the community, have positions in your church, in your organizations.
Absolutely.
So it's important to always be checking, am I safe with this person, and to give them that.
Always.
It's so important. But at the same time, to also have the opposite of, who can I trust? If I got lost, who is the person I can trust?
Who's going
to
call?
Tell me to go to. That's just as important as who not to trust, as who to trust.
Absolutely.
And that dialogue is that dialogue within themselves then too, of how do I feel? I think you hit so many key important points for any parent that they can easily apply. I'm so honored that you came on and were able to share this conversation with us. Do you have any examples of either clients that you've worked with or in your own life where someone really came out with having a resilient intuition from the work that they've done with you?
You know, I will say this, and I emphasize intuition so much with all of my clients, because I feel like it is our little whispers from God to tell us where to go, where not to go, when to move, when not to move, right? And so with my clients that I just do personal work with, I emphasize you already knew so much,
Right?
You're looking for someone else to give you so many answers, and so many answers are already in you. It's just you haven't learned how to tap into you to hear where to go. So think of me as like your microphone. It's already being said. It's just too quiet. So I'm allowing you to say it out loud, to figure yourself out, to trust yourself in your movements, right? And even when we make the wrong move, that's okay too. It's one, owning it, right? I think when I should have zagged, right? That wasn't the right choice completely. But now what did I get from it, and how do I move in a different way without me having to beat myself up? Because a lot of times with intuition, when it's not honored, you know, the way we're talking about doing it with your children and growing them up into it, when I'm trying to figure it out as an adult, my ear is not as attuned to what my true intuition is. So it's mixed with fear. It's mixed with hypervigilance. It's mixed with sociability. It's mixed with pleasing people. And so I have all these other voices yelling too. And the intuition is sitting there, and intuition is kind of quiet, right? It's like that doesn't scream and yell. But all of these other things are so loud that I have to learn when to mute them so that I can hear the intuition of myself louder.
Yeah.
And when I'm able to move through that, and that's why the beauty of pause is such an amazing thing to capture, especially when you know you have to make decisions, is just to sit still for a moment and quiet all the other noise and tune into yourself, right? And really find where you want to be aligned with, so that when you make the next move, if it's good or not, you say, I did everything I knew how to do. And it maybe didn't work out, but it was all I knew. So at that moment, it was fully good enough. Even though the outcome wasn't what I wanted, I still was moving in alignment and in attunement with me. Now I know something different, and it's just extra lessons to add so that I can go back to what I said about with my kids. Remember that lesson? Remember how you came to this and how this all planned out? You just do that throughout adulthood, and you learn from your mistakes, right? You learn from your poor choices. But the key in all of it is asking yourself why. Why did I make that choice, right? What did I hope to gain from it? And there you get so much delicious information that you carry it with you to everything else.
And that's the key, is that then you're comfortable being honest with yourself. You're not deceiving yourself. And if you grew up putting on a front or playing a part of a dysfunctional cycle, that truth and sitting with yourself and holding yourself responsible is a huge first step. Because before you go to blame, you'll go to blame every time until you finally learn to face yourself. And the sooner you can face yourself and trust yourself fully with that intuition is when life really shifts and when life changes and starts moving in a more positive direction. Because then you're in vibration with what is meant for you, not what somebody else put on you, not the expectations, nothing else. You know your lane and you're able to flow in it. And I think God also is finally able to come in and get you in the flow of where you're meant to be as well. And certainly we want that for our children so they can reach their full potential with guidance.
Absolutely.
I'm so curious with your insights on intuition. Where did that start for you, where you decided to do this work? And what was that point or that pivot for you?
You know what? It started really early. Again, my mother always kind of honored my intuition. So I just started kind of trusting me. And from there, it was just, you know, people just young, right? 15, 16 years old. I have older siblings, and their friends and stuff would come. We just sit and talk or whatever. And somehow I was giving them advice, and they would be like, oh, that's good, right? To the point where sometimes they would come just see me and talk life out. And so I've kind of been in this mode of moving in a direction that is honoring people and getting people to honor themselves. And so from that, I knew kind of this is where the lane I would be in. I hoped, you know, growing up, but I knew that I needed to first find me and honor me. So I started doing, you know, personality tests, digging into psychology books, doing all this stuff, 15, 16 years old, right? Because I'm like, okay, why does this work? And I'm very inquisitive because I want to understand why. So it was really just moving in that of always looking. And I was always my first client, right? Because I want to see who I am and how I pivot and why did I do that? Why do I feel this way? Why don't I like them? Like, what is going on within me first? And so I learned like a huge amount of honesty, because honesty is where you have to, it has to be the foundation for us to get anywhere else. So it's honesty with my good, with my bad, with my in-between. It's being honest all around, because without honesty, then there is no truth and there is no freedom and you lose purpose, right? So you've got to find a way to stand in the mirror and say, man, you did this, 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 and that. And it's not to discount what everyone else did, right? Because, you know, people affect our lives, but we are the constant and everything in our life. It is always only me. So if I look at me first and find where I stand, let's say I only have 20% of what the issue is. That 20% is mine. And I have to own that. And I have to work on that. That other 80%, I can show somebody theirs, but I can't do anything with it. They have to choose to move it, to change it. And you realize that even with your kids, especially when they get teenagers, you lose so much control. And it's so awful because a little bit of control is nice, but you have to let them find their way, right?
Have to
you
find their way. They have to build their own resilience, their own decisions, their gut. They got to make their mistakes. But they should make it at home. They should make it at home while the consequences are not as big. With a parent who loves them, with the support. Yes. Not be so sheltered that they go out in the world and then get taken advantage of. Because the world is ready to eat people alive who are not prepared.
Who are not prepared, right? And the ones that are prepared, we still got to fight because there's so much stuff going on, right? And so it's giving them that. And so, you know, this has always been my aim. And I always wanted to work with children. It was my first hope, was to just actually work with children, specifically abused children. And then I realized, if I help this child in my hour or two of having them, I'm sending them back to adults. And so I decided I'm going to work with adults more than I work with children. I still work with children, you know, here and there, especially in the family context. But with adults, I have to change us if we're going to ever make the world better for our babies.
Absolutely.
And that has been like my focus. Yeah.
Amen. I love that so much. Such a perfect fit for the Resilient Mother podcast. We want to support mothers and give them resources and ideas so that they can be the best mother that they want to be, no matter what circumstances they may face, whether they have a child with disabilities or have a child that's abused or they were abused themselves, trauma, whatever. We've had it all on here and on purpose. We're inclusive here to support everyone because mothers rock the cradle. They are the foundation of society. We are raising the next generation, and we need to support them in every way that we possibly can. So thank you for being a part of that today, Natalie. I'm so
wonderful. Thank you for inviting me.
I hope this served you, audience. Thank you for being here and listening today. Any links that you would like to interact with Natalie, or you can find her, will be here below. Feel free to look at those, and you can work with her to do this work yourself to get more in tune with your resilient intuition and to bring that into your household so that everyone can thrive at a level where they reach their full potential. All right. God bless. I believe in you, believe in yourself, and we'll see you next time.